The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Secular Brothers Podcast. We want truth, no more lies, no more lies. We speak how we feel, no more compromise. Take away our freedom, huh? Now, this is America, land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me. Land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
Hey, welcome to the Secular Brothers Podcast. I'm George Seculo. This is...
I am not Logan Seculo. Sometimes you hear my voice. I'm Will Haynes. I'm normally on the other side of the glass, but Logan's out, so I'm going to be sitting in, helping Jordan out a little bit on the podcast this week.
Like a brother from a different mother and father.
Right, yes.
But yeah, Will's with us every day in our team. We're starting off, of course, with President Biden. To me, it's like no longer even surprising. That's kind of like the sad part about the trip to Ukraine. It's all about a surprise. I see Jake Sullivan there. He was like about to have like a meltdown of his happiness too. If you look in the corner and you get Jake Sullivan, who's the national security advisor President Biden, and a lot of the reason you could blame all these failures on policy wise on him, who's obviously giving this advice to Biden, Biden's accepting it. He's so giddy on the sideline, as are so many in this celebrity political world about Zelensky, like being near Zelensky and being in. I think, again, if things weren't so bad here in our own country and there weren't so many economic problems, inflation problems, you add the East Palestine and their excuses. Well, there's tons of trade derailments all the time. Yet we pay for these giant infrastructure plans and we all come out knowing that we're going to be criticized heavily for being like against infrastructure and against bridges in America. We come out against these large bills because the name is never what you're paying for. And then you can see in reality, we're not doing anything about our nation's actual infrastructure, yet we're sending, I think Biden announced today, another $500 million to Ukraine. And the issue there is, if they would give us an end game, or even just like a strategy of what they would like to see ultimately done there, I think Americans would it'd be easier to rally behind. But instead, they're actually using this issue, and Will, it's kind of bizarre to me, to divide us. They use Ukraine as, you're either with us or against us, like it's a war on terrorism. And if you question even the, is it smart to be giving this money without an endgame in sight, all we know right now is that we're giving weapons that aren't even going to be ready for 6 or 7 months, sometimes a year. So we're saying this conflict's going to go that long. There's no indication we've got anything negotiated or trying. So if you tell the American people, hey, this is what we think is going to happen because of this, well, that's easier to kind of digest. If you just keep telling us you need this because we're fighting back against Russia, yet if we question that, we're Russian agents.
Well, and one thing that comes to mind, you talked about Jake Sullivan being so giddy. This was his President Biden visiting the border moment. How much conservatives really wanted the president to show he cared and go to the border? Jake Sullivan has been waiting for this moment. He's probably been begging the team, the security team and everyone, like, let's make this happen. Let's get him to Ukraine as fast as possible. But you also bring up that the American people would really probably be a little bit more comforted if we were giving away all these billions and billions of dollars, if there was some sort of end game. And a radio caller today on Secular Broadcast had mentioned that, is it potentially like a Vietnam situation? Like, is it this long ended, not really sure what we're fighting for at this point? But President Biden made a statement in his speech. This is Bite 19 that we can go ahead and get ready for people. But that kind of makes it feel like it's going to be like that, because here's what he had to say about really what we're doing there.
Remind us that freedom is priceless. It's worth fighting for as long as it takes, and that's how long we're going to be with you, Mr. President, for as long as it takes.
We'll do it.
Thank you.
So you look at this,
even
and
there
you say, as long as it
right.
takes.
People there want this to come to it. They want to right. win, or at least see, get to a point where they could declare victory. Even if both sides declare victory, they want the war to, they want to end the war ultimately. Except for you've got Biden going, we're there forever. Then it's like that delay. Now some of that's the translation, fine. Other than that, is just, that doesn't make sense to people. People want to win wars.
You also brought up that there was some Ukrainian analysis that came out from maybe some of the military leaders that you will see our tanks in Red Square.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what the Biden administration thought they were sending
no,
tanks
for. We don't
for.
Need another war of aggression.
Right.
We don't need like a – see, some of this is – I get why Ukrainians would be angry at Russians probably, you know, for history's sake and for generations to come, understandably. That being said, we should not – we don't want to be funding – the idea, because how long would that take? A decade, 2 decades before Ukraine could actually get
outside
of its own border?
It would take as long as it takes. That's what President Biden said.
Yeah, and we can't, we don't open, we shouldn't open it. And the big difference is, and what they try to play us off is, this is not our troops, and it's just paper money, and who cares about paper money? And maybe people weren't as concerned when this first started because they had all the bailout money.
Right.
Everybody was getting checks in the mail, not having to go to work. Now everybody's having to go back to work, can't afford to live. We see what happened in Ohio. I mean, could you imagine how easy it would be to clean that up if you gave him half of what he promised Ukraine today?
Right.
Be done.
And the original FEMA response until President Trump got involved
yep.
was, we're not going there. We're not going to go and really spend the dollars. I think they said it was out of their jurisdiction is first what they told
yes, because
Governor
they
DeWine.
And they were trying to argue that they don't do like the cleanup of toxic waste, which then is admittal that this is toxic waste.
Right.
And the people should. But what the people returned back is that it's not that we're asking FEMA to do that part. It's that FEMA does the water,
mm-hmm.
bottled water, tent services, medical, psychological services, things that people need in real time. It's not necessarily going to be the agency that is responsible for the hazmat suits. And I think everybody understands that. But it's so political when you realize Donald Trump announces Friday afternoon he's going there next week. So he's waited long enough for things to settle down. I don't think it's distraction. Some people try to say that too, is, well, Biden's not going because it's a distraction. If it was 2 days after, fine. That's understandable. You don't
right.
need that mess of a president traveling there. A couple weeks after the disaster, you do go for morale purposes. The same reason he's going to Ukraine.
Right.
It's an image to show the community and the rest of the – and this sake would be more for the country to say, you know what? We need to be helping out our fellow Americans here. But instead it feels like, well, politically this doesn't work for them because the narrative doesn't work on the infrastructure or does it work on the community that this is in. This is a community that went from deeply blue to red. It's predominantly white, working class community. It's again, that used to be kind of the bread and butter Democrat voter, union
right.
voter, turned on them with Donald Trump and has not turned back yet. And so it's like, but they should be, you should be making political decisions about that. It's not like Donald Trump did decide not to go to Houston, which is predominantly Democrat, if you talk about the city, after the flood. He went. Now, he went after the right amount of time, so you're not distracting. But people need that boost to know I'm on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the leader cares about me. That's why you go to – he didn't have to go to Ukraine to authorize another $500 million. He did it for the imagery. As much for them as he – I don't think it's helping him at home anymore.
Well, and if you were to also think back to some of the stuff he talked about in the State of the Union, where he was talking about the working man and talking yeah. about the roots of the Democratic Party within like union areas of this country. And in some follow up speeches, he also talked about how, you know, the blue collar workers of America feel like the Democrat Party have abandoned them. Well, it's playing out in real time right now, because that's a big reason why the Rust Belt areas like this portion of Ohio, which was very blue, traditional Democrat, back to labor union Democrat, is completely turning against that and becoming a working class part of America that is red in the MAGA style conservatism. And if it feel like the people in the administration would have heard these words from President Biden, both in the State of the Union and in following up in some of those other addresses, like with the when he met with the county leaders, he did that speech and people were wondering if he would even bring up the spy balloon. He didn't mention it then, but that's like 2 weeks ago now. And what you're seeing is that the direction coming from the top. So if Joe Biden does believe these things about the working class and blue collar America, which is what he built the majority of his career on, you'd think that people on his staff would kind of take a little bit of direction from the commander in chief. And we're really seeing them not do that. And I think it proves the point that we've made many times here is that he's not running the show.
No.
He really isn't.
Well, it's like the shooting down of the balloons. Okay, so we're supposed to believe, okay, these weren't like the Chinese balloons, so it wasn't like a giant spy balloon, but they were still a threat. But then we were told there were thousands of these, and they haven't shot any more down. So literally, in 3 days over a weekend, we shot down three, then we stopped shooting them down.
Right.
They said they had a policy. They clearly don't have a policy. It was clearly reaction to look tough. It doesn't work anymore. I think, you know, we were talking about this, like, in the new age and era, where everyone is their own reporter, you can't pull those stunts on people
anymore. Right.
Like, it's real time. We know if you're just doing something to look tough or if it's real. Those were clearly the reason why they were unexplainable to pilots, why they looked ridiculous, why our missiles didn't really work against them, was because they were little tiny balloons that shouldn't be, that aren't the reason why we designed missiles. So during this kind of time, I saw too, there was another. We won't get into much today because I think there's going to be more reporting on it. There's some other new virus.
Oh, no.
Coming together. They haven't named it yet.
Okay.
But I saw it in the news. When there's these kind of moments, our friends at Centurion Labs are there for you. You got cold, the flu. Our weather in just Nashville, we have gone from 25 degrees to 70 degrees in 24 hours. That wreaks havoc on your immune system. It wreaks havoc on your sinuses. And so our friends at Centurion Labs, centurionlabs.com/bros. And if you use that promo code bros, you get 20% off your first order. Have got great products, immunity boosters, also Ninja Cough as well. So I want you to check it out. It's a wild weather time where we are, especially where we get kind of winter and summer and spring all at the same time. Even this early in, I think we're just in February.
Right.
It's in the 70s today.
It's crazy.
And I was sweating outside today. I was freezing 24 hours ago. Like, didn't want to go. I was taking my daughter to ballet Saturday morning, and we were like bundled up like you would usually be in February, 20 degree weather. Today we're putting shorts back on.
I couldn't decide whether or not to bring a jacket with me today because it was a little chilly in the air this morning.
There was some rain.
But then I'm like, there's no way. I'm not even going to have to keep up with this because I'll end up leaving it at the office when it's 75 in the afternoon.
Yeah, there was a slight mist.
Yes.
It was a little cooler, but not, yeah, it's one of those types of years. So check them out, centurionlabs.com/bros. There is more than Ukraine going on. We've got a lot of whale trouble.
Well, you brought this up earlier, and I wanted to ask your opinion on some of these stories in the news, because you brought up how the Biden administration says they're investing in all this infrastructure, but we're seeing kind of the disasters that continue in the U.S. But part of that big push is for renewable energy and green energy. And over the weekend, there was a rally from environmentalists that were very upset in New Jersey. And actually, I want to get into this as well, because there was some strange brothers in arms in this, because it's the environmental groups that are upset about these whale deaths. If you've been seeing this in the news, you're seeing
a lot of beach whales
from Virginia Beach, where we've spent a lot of time, all the way up in New Jersey, up and down the coast. They're having these whales that are dying. And there were 18 whale deaths in 2 months in New Jersey.
That's wild.
And so,
used to, if like one whale died, it was a news story.
Right.
Or like if it beached.
Well, there was that viral video forever ago where there was a news reporter because there was a beached whale that died on the beach, and they were trying to blow up the whale.
Right.
And this was like early days of YouTube, and this local news reporter gets rained on by whale because they use too much of the explosive to try to get rid of it. Yeah. Because it's a big deal trying to figure out how to get rid of a whale this size. But these hundreds of New Jersey residents were rallying over the deaths of whales because they think it may be tied to all the offshore wind farms. So you've got a weird juxtaposition here where the environmentalists are protesting against environmentally friendly energy sources and actually calling on a federal moratorium of offshore wind energy until they can figure out what's going on. And yet this is where we're told by the left and by the administration that we need to be putting our taxpayer dollars is into these renewables, these offshore, these wind, these
untested.
Solar.
So when we went all in on wind, we thought this is the next big thing. It's never been. It never has quite worked. It killed all the birds first. So you get rid of the birds. And remember, Donald Trump was mocked for that.
He
was also mocked. He runs golf courses, obviously. Everyone knows that. Did that long before he was president. And so he would invest in these. Then they want to put up wind farms near him, which messes everything up. And it messes the environment up. And, you know, I'm sure it's – I can't even imagine what this industry has gotten from the federal government in – grants, loans, tax abatement, all those issues.
All the R&D that they fund, all of it's got to be billions of dollars.
And it's not working. It's just – it's not protecting that what it's supposed to protect. It's actually making – it's environmentally extremely disruptive.
Right.
So to the whales, because it's messing up, I guess, their communication abilities.
Well, and that's what they're saying.
A lot of it is your – the noise that this creates.
Right, that it's not just even the wind themselves, the turbines – but when they're constructing them, it's very disruptive because you put hundreds and thousands of these things offshore and there's construction and it's disruptive to the way the water flows and the tides and the currents. But then also once it's there, they're concerned about the vibrations and the electromagnetic energy that's put off.
Yeah.
All of these things.
Which messes all their sonar.
They don't really know what is causing it, and that's part of the concern.
What's weird is that they'll go all in on that. But like industries that we know – may not be perfect. This is what I think. We're a first world country for now.
For now.
Yeah.
That's your caveat.
And I think that those things are like East Palestine show us that it's for now. And you do have to, one, you can invest in new technology. That's great. Elon Musk has been there. But he's also been on the record saying, everybody can't drive an electric car yet. It's not ready. We don't have the infrastructure to have everybody on electric cars. So, when Joe Biden tried to say, you know, it's only a decade where we need oil and gas. Let's say we get to that point in our country. We could go all electric. And maybe that's cheaper for us. Maybe that's better for us. We're still going to have a lot of natural resources that most of the world will need to operate. To heat or cool or to keep their factories open. They're going to be 100 years behind us in a lot of countries.
Right.
If we were smart, you could get everybody on board with these new technologies. On the one hand. And say, yeah, we want to go. We want to do this for our country. This is going to be better economically, cheaper. It creates new jobs. But we're going to take the resources we have. We're still going to export those. So we're going to be able to pay for all that R&D through the still selling oil and gas to countries that are going to be decades behind.
Right.
Probably 100 years behind, but most of the world. So we can take the luxuries. But they never will compromise like that. You have to be 100% with them on wind. Or 100% on green, or else you're the enemy.
Well, it's a religion. It becomes – the green agenda becomes a religion where there is an entire ecosystem built around it. And if you don't buy into the tenets of the faith, that 100%, then they want to excommunicate you. They want to cast you out as a heretic. And what one of the interesting – portions of this, and I saw signs from the protest, and there was signs that said things like "wind kills whales," and it was just odd to see that juxtaposition.
Yeah. I mean, that's a generic statement,
right?
That's too generic,
right?
Statement.
But the whale agenda is probably, if you think about of our generation, that was probably the first real environmental cause I was aware of.
Yeah,
as a kid, was save the whales. So it is something that's been around a long time and has deep roots, but. An interesting ally in this is someone that we're very familiar with at ACLJ, and that's Representative Chris Smith of New Jersey, who's very pro-life.
Yep.
He's been a longtime congressman in New Jersey, and he was quoted by Fox News because he attended these rallies.
Yeah, interesting.
And he said, "Today the whales are sending us a tragic message that demands transparency and accountability, both of which has been sorely missing from Governor Murphy's plan to use New Jersey's coast as a prime location for the offshore wind industry in the U.S. And he goes on to say, questions and concerns raised by me and many others have gone unanswered concerning the unexplained death of at least 10 whales. So when you start to see longtime Republican lawmakers that you wouldn't expect to be at a pro-whale rally showing up. He would never be embraced by the green movement, the green agenda, but he's making a lot of sense because you can care about your coastline and your jobs and the way it's going to affect the ecosystem. Just because you don't think that the Inflation Reduction Act is the savior of the world doesn't mean that you don't care about the world or the creatures in the ocean that end up creating an ecosystem where we can still continue to enjoy things like seafood and leisure in the ocean and tourism. All of these things are combined. And really, the conservation movement was very conservative at its roots. When you think about organizations like Ducks Unlimited or Trout Unlimited, like these conservation, pro-hunter, pro-earth kind of movements that don't want to see our resources just squandered, but wanted to build upon. But those type of conservation movements would never be accepted by the left because they don't buy into all
they were the additional
of the other stuff.
The reasons why we have parks, the reasons why we have these areas, why you need hunting permits certain times of year, and why you're allowed to hunt certain animals certain time of year, certain kinds, weight-wise, all these limits were not put in place by the hard left.
Right.
It was by people who wanted to fish and hunt and said, you know what, to keep doing this, we need to make sure these animals thrive to
extent. We have to be responsible.
Well. Right? And you got to have clean land. And you got so I feel like it's one of those it's an American issue. It's a, you don't have to be as politicized as Washington makes us all feel like some Republicans are. We're not anti. We don't want dirty air.
Right.
Like we don't want to die young because of toxic waste and the that if we can make cleaner places for people to work, cleaner place energy, we all support that. But it's the religion. If we don't. If you don't go for the 100%, if you question anything, you're the enemy.
Right.
And I think that maybe as people grow up, you were talking about like people's first, you know, and they get out of the college student mindset of these movements and the post-Greta Thunberg, you know, movement, it's you realize reality is different than these the phony world you live in when you start paying bills. There's some catch-up we have to do on the baby boomer, these generational shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time. I mean, I think with all these things, like when they say you can't touch entitlement programs and all that, it's easy to say right now. But when we're all paying for three times the amount of people,
right,
which is what we're all dragged to doing, certainly I feel like everybody's, oh, we'll question whether or not it's environmental, you know, it's a good idea to keep everybody, you know, I maybe we're seeing one of those shifts.
Well, and also we are seeing an administration that has the luxury, unfortunately, to keep printing money.
Yeah.
And to then not be spending that money on the American people, but spending that money on things like Ukraine. And
without telling us where it's going.
And like, there's not the real transparency of what the end game of those dollars
are. That's all people want.
Exactly.
They just want an end game. How is this going to stop people from getting killed? How does this push Russia to say, you know what, this is not worth it for us either? Instead, we're talking about maybe the Chinese are going to get involved now. That's pretty scary
stuff. And for our generation as well that lived through our entire growing up years were very long, expensive, costly in terms of both monetarily and the lives of our countrymen. Those wars have conservatives and liberals as alike rethinking national defense and war in many ways. Not always on the same page. I'll tell you, a Democrat has never looked at a war and seen something they didn't love because of all the spending that gets to go along with it. But even the justifications of wars that we believe in the cause of, there are issues when you start to see how long and how much the real impacts of war are on your peers.
Yep.
And I think that's why people are a little bit hesitant to get involved in places like Ukraine, of not wanting to have to send our soldiers back and be facing Russian bullets this time instead of jihadi bullets.
Right.
So there is that. And when you clearly China doesn't fear us anymore, we've seen that play out this month.
Considering sitting, they're already propping up the Russian economy. Now they're thinking about sending lethal aid. So we'd be in another Cold War situation where we'd be paying for other people to be killed, they'd be paying for other people to die, and we're shooting at each other through utilizing other people.
And what didn't start out as a proxy war between us and China becomes a generational proxy Cold War between the United States and China. And that could be infinitely more scary than us sending billions of dollars to Ukraine.
That's scary stuff. Even scarier stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got a final story here for you. And this, you say scary because there is the grotesque, the macabre, maybe. This is...
But we all saw it when we were like 8 years old. Right. Our parents were like, you know what? Let's watch this psychedelic trip of a movie with no explanation why it was fine. We're all fine.
Right, right. We think we grew up okay. But yeah. The classic children's literature author Roald Dahl has... He's no longer alive, but his estate and the publisher... Puffin Books have quietly started editing some of his classics like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, James and the Giant Peach. We grew up with these. We saw the film versions of them. We read the books as children. But they have been, to not offend. Now, they were grotesque.
Yeah, I thought that was the purpose of those. It was to be outrageous, crazy, not really of this world. Of course, one of them, they were cloud men. They have to be cloud people now.
Right.
Some of these are just goofy little changes.
They've taken a lot of gender-neutral terms, like the Oompa Loompas were tiny men. Now they're little people.
Like, I don't even think people – you don't have to sexualize Oompa Loompas.
Right.
You know, like, I don't even think I saw – they were just Oompa Loompas.
They were creatures to some degree.
They weren't human beings.
Right.
There were some other – that whole world was otherworldly.
This is my favorite, though. I didn't tell you this one in advance. This is how woke and absurd the censorship of these books have become. So someone in one of the books, his face turned white with horror. They couldn't say white anymore. His face was agog with horror.
So they're making it more difficult.
Right.
Like, what is
so
that?
Instead of because the term white define? Could be offensive because of like someone goes like pale, you go pale. Like, yeah. I mean, that
blush.
Doesn't mean
if you blush, there's some people blush more than others because they have really white skin.
Right.
You know,
that just is the absurdity of where they took it. Salman Rushdie, he spoke out against it. He was kind of frustrated. As you can understand, because yes. He is someone
well,
who is...
People start editing his books when he's gone.
And he has seen the up front what happens when people don't like the speech of specific things. You know, he was attacked by the Iranians recently
almost
as...
Almost has given his life.
Last year.
Literally for a book. It was written, what year was that book? The 80s, 70s? 80s?
Yeah, I think it was 80s. Yeah. The Satanic Verses.
Yeah.
But he wrote a tweet and said, this is absurd censorship. And he says Puffin Books and the Dahl estate should be ashamed. He also said he was no angel. He's not trying to say that, you know, you lift these people up on pedestals, but it's the literature. And it is also
the arts.
A little bit ironic when they're trying to say how conservatives in Florida are trying to block things where they're over-sexualizing children.
Yeah.
And instead, they're now trying to censor a classic story is that the entire point is the grotesque and the absurd.
Yeah, and you don't have to make a number one bestseller. Like it's up to the communities, the people. We decide as a culture,
yeah,
what we're going to make a bestseller, what we're going to make famous, what we're going to make into a movie, what we're going to show all of our kids. These guys, for the most part, never saw that into real life. I may have seen some in later life. Most of these artists never see where their art goes.
Right,
they're all offensive in their time period. Some in that specific time period was really wild.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really make sense on paper. If you just wrote Charlie like on paper, like just a short term sheet of that, try to say, okay, let's sell this as a movie and say, oh, and then 2 decades from now, we'll be able to sell it again as a movie.
Right.
Because we're going to use Johnny Depp again and he's pretty, you know,
over the top.
Yeah. And Tim Burton.
Well, and that's, I think James the Giant Peach was also the...
That's all been redone.
And I think that was Tim Burton also.
Yeah.
Because it plays into that style of the absurd and the fanciful. It's
slightly horrific.
Yeah.
Slightly unworldly.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of magic going on. It's not supposed to be real.
Right.
It's not reality.
Right.
It's not a world of men. It's a world of Oompa Loompas.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know... To me, going on the same time, you know, South Park, they think they might get sued by Harry and Meghan.
Really?
Which I now have to go back and watch this episode. There's a... I don't want to see the worldwide privacy tour.
Right. Where they're going around telling everyone to leave us alone.
Bothered the kangaroos. They're in Canada. And so supposedly, because in many other countries, this lawsuit would not go anywhere in the U.S.
Right.
But these are all licensed, obviously, to air all over the place. Well, they don't have this kind of freedom. So when you talk about starting editing people's books after they die,
mm-hmm.
and their estates are going along with it because of money.
Right.
Because these books says will say, you know, if you don't do this, we just won't publish this book.
Well, and it probably gets published, and then libraries and everything all have to get new editions because it's updated. So copies will definitely sell.
Like, I don't know that I would push to my kids to go read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
Like, at some point, they might come to it. My daughter started watching the Matilda. It's pretty wild. It's pretty intense.
Right. And I haven't seen the new Matilda. I saw the old one when, yeah. I mean, it was probably 25 years ago now.
Yeah.
But that was the adults are always almost monsters.
Like monsters.
They're humans, but they're supposed to be monsters. And I've heard that this one is probably a little bit more true to the book, the newer one,
really
because
scary.
It's even more grotesque. Monster.
Yeah. And I don't think you like, yes. And I think you age to these stories. Some kids it resonates with, some it probably doesn't. I think, and some are just, they're cultural icons.
Right.
But the idea that you could just sue over this, just for people to know, the rest of the world you can.
Right.
Like, we're unique that we defend this speech, and you do have to defend speech, like our friends at Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to go all in. You can't 50% defend speech. You can't just defend the speech you like. Which means the left gets their speech. Even when you think that their speech is to censor you,
right?
They get to speak.
Well, and that was people always think of the UK being very similar, except for more socialist than the United States. But that is one thing. They don't have a First Amendment there. They don't have the same protections that our First Amendment grant to us.
Yep.
And even now, obviously they didn't under King George, but now they still don't. And that was one thing that Prince Harry even said in one of those first interviews was how absurd the First Amendment is here.
Yes.
That these journalists can get away with following you around and taking your picture.
Just
and they're protected. And so even the mindset in
the most off-putting documentary I've ever seen someone create on themselves.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go flee to Montecito. I can't handle being a I mean, you know, again, I think it was off. This is more off-putting. I think it wasn't even that as where South Park could go. It wasn't even that
right. They've done way worse.
I mean, it was what we were all thinking, which is if you didn't want attention, why did you do a Netflix documentary for a bunch of mobs for the mob squads to talk about? Why'd you write a book with your cover picture on the cover? Like, if you don't want attention, don't put a book at the grocery store.
Exactly,
because if you didn't know who Prince Harry was before. Which you probably did if you were in the demographic to buy a book. You certainly are going to know who this redheaded dude is with a beard after.
Right.
So, you know, you got to take all of that. You put yourself out there. And she's an actress.
Exactly.
The whole, you know, but the absurdity is the editing. It's the going back and rewriting history. You know, people, these cultural icons also stand up for our history, too. They tell us a time period. It was a little bit of a wacky time.
Right.
The LSD, it was that time period. It would be like the legalizing weed time period of now.
Right.
It's changed culture. It certainly has changed culture. It's changed churches.
Mm-hmm.
That's now a discussion with pastors I've seen a lot of is where's the legal? It's a cultural moment.
Right. It'll be interesting in, let's say, 40 years from now, you know, what.
Who's gonna be calling it weed anymore?
Yeah,
it's not like weed. Like it was weed because it was like a drug.
And is Star Wars gonna be like having to be edited because there's not enough diversity among the aliens? You know, like that's how far is the absurdity gonna go? And
who are the stormtroopers?
Right.
Yeah, right. And to a certain point, is
they're gonna have to take out the line. Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? Because that's offensive to someone. You know that. They're going to have to really buckle down on some of the media that we've just, you know, taken for granted, Jordan.
And then there's no more art.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where the left, and that's what they actually do in a lot of those countries. You either are part of the state. It's like propaganda for Russia. Either you are a Russian artist for the Soviet Union or else your art was banned.
Right.
There was no... So you could create interesting art in their parameters, but if you decide to go outside their parameters...
Within the uniformity of what the state commissioned.
So there we go. It's happening. We're seeing it. I don't want to be a failed state.
Yeah.
I don't think most Americans want to be a failed state or failed enterprise either. That's what the Chinese are thinking. And I think we still have time in our history to rewrite that.
Right.
But we have to get on. And I think there's got to be a general – our generation that's now going to start leading at a massive scale, most industries, companies, government, has got to wake up past the college campus mode that a lot of us grew up in because our parents worked really hard to send us to these schools where we could just spend years learning
right,
and experiencing things. And it's taken us a lot longer to get to the working moment, generationally speaking. But hopefully we're starting to wake up.
Yeah.
It's just our parents were like working and having kids in their 20s to do 40. It's for real.
Yeah, 100%.
So some of that I think.
Well, but let's be careful because we haven't decided when you're in your prime yet.
Yeah, that's
Don
right.
Lemon would say. You
he's still
Google
on vacation.
That.
It is President's Day. He took an early President's Day on Friday.
I'm just curious how long his vacation's going to last.
It should be endless. For most of us, it would be.
But then we wouldn't get some gems that he says.
I know. There's a. It's like you kind of want to give him a microphone on one hand, so you really know what he's thinking.
We know no one's watching him.
Right. We're only watching when we all put it out.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it gives you a little mindset into like how crazy that the left of the left world is. All right, folks. SecularBrothers.com. Wherever you're watching, hope you share with your friends and family. We will be back couple more times this week on Secular Brothers. Have a good one.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.